I'm Bill Littlefield. Even in July, we're never far from football season. That sport is the first subject we'll tackle. It's funny, because in this week's three stories you should know. Joining me again this time around are the Wall Street Journal's Rachel Bachman and Sports on Earth's Will Leach via Skype. Welcome to both of you.
Great to be here. Thank you.
An honor as always.
I'm going to start us off this week. The National Football League has been promoting and funding a program called Heads Up Football. The program is designed not only to educate coaches, but, and I think probably primarily, to encourage parents to allow their kids to play football. The program has claimed that it reduces injuries by 76% and concussions by about 30%, and the New York Times has reviewed these figures, and here's the big surprise, they're wrong. Heads Up Football has not reduced concussions at all. The independent company that performed the study has taken the blame for not informing the NFL, which I'm sure had no idea. Anyway, without getting into who is responsible for their misrepresentation of the effectiveness of the program, I just wonder if it's time to acknowledge that football is a violent sport in which players are likely to get their heads banged around, and we should perhaps also acknowledge that the NFL is even more desperate than previously supposed to promote the game as safer. I'm going to stop listening to them when they say that. Will, what about you?
I think we all probably need to be able to acknowledge that basic fact that the game is a violent game. And it's funny, players tend to acknowledge this.
Absolutely.
But philosophically speaking, the league can't do it, and they never will. And to me, that's the ugly part of the part of programs like Heads Up. It is wrapped in this notion that, like, oh no, this is making the game safer. We're doing everything that we can. The problem is, we've discussed this before here, I feel like I spend all offseason being like, guys, NFL's really dangerous. And then the game starts, no one remembers.
Mm. It seems like people just don't seem to care. They don't seem to care that football is dangerous. Here's an example. One would think that with all the research coming out about its dangers, that the numbers of participation in youth tackle football would be plummeting. And that's not the case.
They have gone down a little bit, right?
They have gone down a little bit, but not in recent years, not in the last year, according to most recent data. And what has gone up sharply is participation in what else? An NFL-operated league called NFL Flag for kids. Mm-hmm. And this is flag football. It's not tackle. But I think what that does is kind of keep people excited about football. These kids wear jerseys of NFL teams. People just love football. It's very hard for this country to quit the sport.
Flag football is gateway drug.
That appears to be what's happening, yes.
It's also worth remembering, you know, that Bloomberg had a study about this last year where they talked about how among more wealthier families, that is where participation is going down. But those wealthy families aren't not watching the game. So basically it turns the NFL into a little bit like the military, that like, hey, listen, I don't want my kids to go play, but I would definitely encourage other people's kids to go play.
Will, you're up next, and I understand you've been thinking about a certain rookie pitcher this week, and it must have been painful.
The St. Louis Cardinals on Sunday, they had to use a spot starter named Mike Mayers. He's actually not a top Cardinals prospect. It just happened to be his turn in the rotation, and the Cardinals had a doubleheader during the week, so they had to use a AAA pitcher. Unfortunately for him, it happened to be on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN when everyone was watching against the Los Angeles Dodgers. So Mike Mayers is out there getting national television attention. There's his family. They're so cute. They're so happy. And he gave up 9 runs in 1 1/3 inning. Ooh. 8 hits, 2 walks. He was, in fact, the first pitcher in Major League Baseball history to give up 9 or more earned runs in less than 2 innings in his Major League debut. He's really not a major prospect, which brings up the very real possibility this could be like a Brooklyn Robins pitcher from 1918 named Harry Heitman, who he pitched in one game. He faced 4 batters. All 4 of them got hits. After the game, he showered, took off his uniform, and joined the Navy. And never pitched again. So I don't know if that's what Mike Mayers is going to do, but certainly it's something to keep in mind.
He did get some people out, so his ERA is not infinite.
Yes, thank heavens for small blessings.
Rachel, what do you think?
Well, I think the most interesting thing about this to me is just the family's reaction, because, you know, the only thing worse than being in sort of a 10-run rule situation, as many of us who've played sports have been in, is having witnesses, not only on live TV, but in person, you know, family members you grew up with. It reminded me of the reaction of the Olympic gymnast Ali Raisman's family in London in the 2012 Olympics. NBC showed her parents just contorting and cringing in the stands as she went through her routine. I feel for his family, and it sounds like ESPN eventually cut away, which was the merciful thing to do.
Yes, it was.
You know, I wonder, Will, if we should have even brought this up, because as Rachel mentioned, there is a rule in many leagues called the mercy rule. I played in a fast-pitch softball league for many years. There was a mercy rule.
Yes,
the quality
yes.
of mercy may have dictated that we not even bring this guy up, but as long as we did— hey, he made it to the major leagues.
Absolutely.
How many people can say that? So that's not too bad, right?
Absolutely. He's always got that. And unfortunately, in an age of ESPN with ads to sell, the mercy rule is just never going to cut it, as much as we would have loved to have had that opportunity.
All right, Rachel, you're next. But first, full disclosure, I did have a cup of coffee in preparation for this conversation.
In fact, I had two, Bill, so I'm one up on you there. Of course, the latest in a very long line of doping scandals in sports is Russia. Depending on how this shakes out, maybe a fourth to a third of the Russian Olympic team will not compete in the Rio Olympics that start next month. But there's a little known, maybe among the general public, fact that many, many elite athletes, including Olympians, willingly partake in a proven performance-enhancing substance. What I'm talking about, of course, is caffeine. Now, this is something that actually used to be on the banned list until 2004. And at that point, I think the World Anti-Doping Agency just quit and said, you know what, we can't control this. There are too many espressos in the world. Do what you want. But nonetheless, study after study shows that caffeine confers about a 1-2% performance benefit for many people. In Olympic sports, especially some measured in fractions of a second, this is a significant benefit. But it does highlight the sometimes blurry line between things that are banned and things that are legal.
Will, you strike me as a highly caffeinated sort of person. What do you make of this?
Actually, my dirty secret, Bill, is I don't drink coffee at all. Can you imagine if I did? But I don't. I'd like to note the number of columns that have been blasting Mark McGwire or Barry Bonds or Dee Gordon or Maria Sharapova have all been written by journalists who are heavily PED users if we are using caffeine as an idea. That's why I never liked the term performance-enhancing drug, because like there's an argument that like a good back rub is a PED. It certainly feels that way for me writing sometimes.
Or an aspirin. I mean, if you have a headache and you take a couple aspirin and the headache goes away, you've enhanced your performance.
I've always thought LASIK eye surgery is like a perfect example of this.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
We all decide that LASIK is, even though it's like by definition going in and changing your body chemistry to make you improve something, particularly in something like baseball, as eyesight's so important in that, that line has always been very confusing.
Well, I just need to say that if coffee does reappear on the IOC's banned list, it will mark the end of my Olympic aspirations, and that will be very sad. Rachel, have we taken this sufficiently seriously for you?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a little silly, really.
And for what it's worth, most of the writers that I know that have a real caffeine problem do, in fact, use syringes. Maybe the syringe is the point where you've gone over the line.
Well, it's faster, and we have deadlines.
Exactly.
My guests for this week's three stories you should know have been The Wall Street Journal's Rachel Bachman and Sports on Earth's Will Leach. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.